So this is book Little L, beginning July 8th, 1975, and going through into 1976, February or thereabouts. Starts off with sequencing from gels. Try staining in quotes with Brownitz of 3 under acidic solutions and diluting with a disulfonic acid, a component, bicyclic. I don't know what this is. I think this is Brownitz's reagent. There's a coupling reagent allowing the attachment of so the book begins on Tuesday, July 8th. Page 1 was a so-called heading of the sequencing from the gel, try staining in quotes with Brownitz of 3 reagent. Brownitz of 3 reagent is a naphthalene disulfonic acid, isocyanate, which can be used to couple two amino groups, and try eluting from amino black stain gels with alkaline reagent, because of course the naphthalene, the disulfonic acids make the material quite soluble, or might do so. That was the idea. And the pages of the next pages of talking about this, but no particular comment on the results of what was tested and what was not tested, and there was stages of the reactions, A, B, C, D being the products to be tested. Trying to label again, beta 2 microglobulin and the column solution, quite nicely, a nice peak obtained. Fraction 2 is very approximately 1 microcurie per nanomole. Reference to Cindy Shinnick's notebook here and her work on page 9, September 8th, Cindy CS3, page 71, and what she used with chloral hydrate and ethylene diacrylate to make the gel more cross-linked. Use of a cross-linker to change the consistency of the gel. Test of the product. Test first electrophoresis plus or minus carrier and autograd. Autorad before and after staining. The safe idea. Some technical problem on page 13. The gel stuck badly to the new quote stretch transparent film, not Saran. But the conclusion is first that the results show clearly that the electrophoresis with and without the carrier is the same. and that staining of this I 125 beta 2M, even without carrier, shows protein at about a half to one microgram. And the autoradiograph is pointing over. And here now is the beginning of attempts to directly label proteins with tritium. I remember these experiments. They involved an enormous amount of radioactive, in fact, carrier-free tritium, which was done by B. Wessels, whose first name I think was Barry, Barry Wessels, here on page 14, Wednesday, September 10, tritium labeling sample form, Physical Sciences Laboratory, at Stoughton, Wisconsin, talking about what the sample is. The sample was 200 micrograms of I-125 labeled beta-2M, in parenthesis pure, and then my investigator name, etc. And the tritium mixture was 100% tritium. It was exposed to my recollection was opposed to high frequency radio radio frequency microwave material, and the idea was to exchange some of the hydrogen atoms in the molecule for tritium and then sequence the tritiated material. So direct sequencing of proteins. I do remember these experiments. I don't remember the outcome, but no doubt we should find that out. Tritiation experiments, then Wednesday, September 10th, page 15. Barry will produce in about 100 microliters of 7 molar guanidinium hydrochloride, 1 millicurie of tritiated beta 2M, about 200 micrograms, containing 100,000 counts per minute per microgram of I-125. And a pattern to do the experiment. And the following pages are talking about what the product was from the column, etc. Thursday, September 14th, the material, although there's some crossing out there, 5 microcuries per microgram checked by Barry. Some indication of different fractions containing the tritium, with the thought that the first column fractions were the real material and later was free C14 carbon. So the weather, C14 is coming into this, is not clear. I think that was probably, should have been tritium, not carbon. So the following page shows the columns and the results of it. And then page 24, a repeat of the experiment. Again with Barry Wessel, and a notification of everything that was done. An experiment at 120 watts on page 25, the high discharge, it was called a high discharge experiment. and as might be expected, but not yet described in these results, the higher the discharge of the radio frequency, the more fragmented material one obtained. So it appears to be the graph on page 25 looks to be showing two experiments, and one with high watts and one with lower watts, and more fragments in the higher discharge. But it's not specifically commented on, just the graphs are shown. And another experiment, no discharge control, showing the I-125 and the tritium, looking at different positions. Just returning to page 25, and the I-125 and the tritium elute in one peak, followed by a peak of tritium, which is junk. And when the same experiment is done without any discharge, there is almost or very little label comes off in the I-125 peak, but the counts come out, the tritiated counts come out as in the free volume of the column. No watts, 10 microliters, page 29, so it was working as expected. With the follow-up then, on Thursday, September 11th, they test that the mid column peak is fragments. And following check of that. An experiment on Friday, September 12th. The big crosses through it saying too hot. What that means is not very clear. It's perhaps the number of counts that are coming off. A fresh column with the conclusion that the tritiated water is in tube 10. Experiments of that general type, September 15th. And some conclusions being reached and some quite simply interpreted results on page 38 and 39. Peak recovery, 60% of theory, and tritiated material eluting slightly ahead of the I-125, but no immediate comment on that, and junk coming out at later parts of the column. There is a comment on the non-overlapping of the peaks, the tritium peak and the I-125 peak do not coincide. So either the starting material is badly damaged, that is to say I-125 labour material is not equivalent to the coke carrier, or the tritiation is accompanied by severe damage, unfolding perhaps, a non-proportional loss, etc., etc., various attempts to understand that. A control G25 column on page 40 and 41 with the optical density being slightly misplaced relative to the I-125 peak. The result is hard to interpret. Repeat with a different preparation. So repeated on the following page. only the 125, and the results are the same as yesterday. Having troubles on page 47, a mess again, exclamation mark. Abandon this G75 column, presumably too old. But it looks as if beta 2 microglobulin won't stand alkaline guanidinium hydrochloride. Also, then to try to get radioactive, direct radioactive sequence working, which never. We got a publication eventually, but the method wasn't really very practical. Here on page 55, quite nice, on page 54, a quite nice column result shown with Dave McCain's G75 column and 4 molar guanidinium hydrochloride in point. With 0.1 molar sodium, 0.1 molar ammonium bicarbonate. But with a fairly pretty column with Tabari Whitney, Tabari Wessel. One for microcuries per microgram, uncorrected. The material eluting. the correct place was an enormous amount of damaged product. The order of 23,000 counts versus 1,000 counts at the peak of the real material. More columns, the same general type. On pages 56, 57. 58, 59, continuing more samples from Barry Westwood as we struggle to get a useful product. Continuing then. Some experiments were being done with myoglobin. Tritium and I-125 came off really exactly on the column together on this experiment Thursday, September 2nd. On page 69, sequenced okay, terrific, So this is the comment, and this, etc. This, let's go back a little bit. Probably the material is September 2nd material, in which the I-125 and the Beta 2 and the tritium label and the I-125 label coincided very nicely. Which is a material prepared by Cindy Shinnick, 1.8 milligrams of Cindy Shinnick 3, page 39, pool 2, and we're talking about on page 67. That material then was used in sequinator RON 1094 and sequenced okay. Fairly okay, and the fairly is crossed out, and with a double exclamation mark, that's terrific. So the sequence was listed there, and with the amino acids fairly clearly, first position was isoleucine, second position couldn't be determined, third was arginine, threonine, proline, lysine, isoleucine, as listed, and goes on for 15 steps. So quite a nice sequence, isoleucine, question mark, arginine, threonine, proline, lysine, isoleucine, question mark, valine, etc. So there was a real sequence there, which is clearly tabulated in the numbers. I'll pause there for a moment. Yeah. So this result sequenced okay, terrific, showing the sequence of beta 2 microglobulin was obtained. So that's really needs a little clarification again. So let's go back to page 65, Thursday, September 2nd. Bulk of tritiated material was obtained, and used on a column, and the result showed that the I-125 and the tritium eluted very well together in the column graph on page 64, and this material is talked about on page 67, and then the run of the material is from book L64, page 64 column material is then sequenced on page 69 in the sequinator. And as mentioned before, gave a very good sequence of beta 2 microglobulin. This is probably the run, typical of the runs which made up a paper that was published in August of 1977 in the journal TIBS, which I don't remember what TIBS is. It's not easily found on searching by the usual search in usual literature search. Doesn't reveal this paper, but protein sequencing with radioisotopes by Ian Walker, O. Smith, Oliver Smith, Brian Ballou, Liz Friedlander and Cindy Shinnick, and talks about the labelling Edmund degradation, amino acid identification, etc. Edmund degradation, and then separate the proteins by slab electrophoresis and elute the proteins from gel particles in this case, and a copper with isocyanate to DRTC beads. This was the bead method that is being talked about in this particular case. But sequence 1094 is a sequinator result, not a result from the sequimat. So the paper on August 1967 is talking about sequencing the sequimat. So there was a result of that type. Anyway, the result on page 69 is very satisfactory because clear, good sequence of beta 2 microglobulin. And then the next one with myoglobin on page 71, and that was a little bit of the confusion. This experiment is now with the myoglobin showing a coelution of the labels of I-125 and tritium, and quite a large amount as usual of fragmented material. Conclusions: still some impurity pieces, but they look different from the beta 2 microglobulin. Maybe it is from protein breakdown. Slowly getting the idea that the radio frequency labeling fragmented the protein. A sequinator check, sequencing sequinator number 1101 with a comment OK. And so here is sequinator 1102. Is the aim was to see if the N-terminal yield of beta 2 microglobulin intrinsically labeled is the same as beta 2 microglobulin extrinsically labeled. So making it with labeled amino acids versus labeling it with the tritiation method. General type of question. Here is on the Thursday, November 13th, page 81, is an experiment with myoglobin tritiated X from Dave McCain. Indications of a clean trailing shoulder, but still much junk. So not just beta 2M does this, it's with the myoglobin experiment. A lot of breakdown. Continuing with these experiments of the general type. Trying to convert counts to instead of trying to count directly, count by fluorography, so instilling into the chloral hydrate gel a fluorophore, DPO, in DMSO on page 91. With the result that the first try very weak when done this wet way. And with the result, presumably, of this type on page 43-hour exposure at minus 70 degrees. Tested with a gel with triturated bovine serum albumin and triturated pepsin. From Dave McCain. Again with this fluorography method. And continuing with the same general type of experiment, Friday, December 5th, page 97. Some results of 24-hour exposure and 6-day exposure. Rather dirty, but bands are very heavily labelled, although not very sharp. Run with 740 volts at 20 centimetres, air cool gel. This is an aluminium lactate chloral hydrate gel, although it doesn't say so exactly. Continuing in this vein. Now, rather a big step here on page 100, talking about RNA gels for the first time in relation to Dennis Drainer, talking about wear gloves and acid wash glassware, etc., etc. Carrier transfer tRNA from Sigma and buffers, etc. And acrylamide gel buffer, a TB, TBE or TBV, that's what I might call it. But nothing yet on the RNA, just comments on the procedure. With some summary of the triturated thymidine conclusions on page 104, that an increase in time causes increased damage. And cysteamine slash ethanol, ETOH radically changed the pattern of the guanidinium hydrochloride, and the product looks cleaner on the gel, but is of lower specific activity. Going on, and other comments of that general type. And Friday, January 2nd, 1976. With the comment, December 29th, 1975, decided to change to DNA work full time. So this is the time when I shifted from being a protein sequencing person to working with DNA, a very critical change in my motivations and experiments. So it begins on the Friday, January 2nd, 1976, page 109. A tritiatrithymidine of DNA tests combined with starting techniques for cloning. So it talks about growing up the Sharon phages, from which were growing up a Sharon phage, which was Fred Blattner's lab product or products. There were many of them. Plus C14 to give quantitation. Purify the DNA on cesium chloride and check on the electron microscope. Tritiate, cesium chloride, sucrose, etc. Learn first transfection methods with borrowed DNA, second bulk preparation, third cesium chloride and sucrose. So, beginning to work with bacteria again. Talking about spheroplasts and the genotype of the strain KH802, which is derived from C600 and Gau minus, Met minus, RK minus, MK plus, etc., etc. SU2 plus, so it has a suppressor gene in there. And the medium used, just a learning curve for working with bacteria. The transfection considered on page 113, DNA, etc., equal volume of spheroplast, 30 degrees for about 10 minutes, being sufficient to get transfection. And thinking about multiplicity of infection, 0.05 micrograms per mil of lambda DNA, equivalent to a multiplicity of infection of 0.1, which should be linear up to about 0.4 MOI. Onto NZ plates, which became very familiar. So, K802 from Bill W. So who would Bill W. be? Mm-hmm. Anyway, from him, street on the NZ plates, which have enough methionine to grow in. Single colony grown up, just beginning. And a scheme on February 23rd to label. Rather clear scheme talked about on page 123. I'm trying to get to try to get the hemoglobin gene. It appears as the idea, use a HB containing phage cut to the left of HB. So I'm evidently thinking of using a phage that already contains a copy of a hemoglobin gene. And indeed, this is, I recognize the name here on page 125. Leslie Furlong talked about this. And Leslie Furlong was the person who did the first DNA sequencing that I was concerned with, as we shall see in a little while. She was a graduate student from McGill, I believe, postdoc maybe, or I don't remember exactly, but she was a very capable young lady. So the buffer, it was Helling's 20X buffer was made with the formula back in F, page 143, book F. And here was Leslie Furlong, chromosome 6 DNA. Where she got that from, I don't know. The comment. For a sticky ending. At the bottom of the page, R1 from LF from Leslie Furlong, good stuff. 1 microliter per 10 microliters, 3 to 4 hours. Not comprehensible. But the good DNA gel on page 125, 126, showing the what was expected here. With U173, Charon 6 gene, bacteriophage rather, and duplication, and a map of the chromosome, and then a DNA gel stained with ethidium bromide. Not a very good gel altogether, although the markers are quite nice. So it's probably the product, but a good plot of size for the different fractions. The usual type of size versus migration plot. And the gel being quite standard. 0.5% Seachem, 4 times Helling's, 6 volts. Total at 2.7 volts per centimeter, and ran slowly overnight from 6:10 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. And as I say, quite a nice gel. And continuing gel electrophoresis of different materials, and with the markers being shown in the gel on page 128. So these are what became very familiar gels of Helling's gels with ethidium bromide staining. And the images were clearly taken with a Polaroid. And then some comments on page 131 at the bottom. A better scheme for the experiment does not require pre-sticky ending. More still, experiment goes on. Bill Williams is W, evidently BW is Bill Williams. Was one of Fred's postdocs, as I recollect later. We'll check on that. So this is Continuing on page 133, Friday, March 12th. The first reference that I remember in the book so far to Bill Williams, who was a postdoc of Fred Blattner's, and whom took part in a rather remarkable experiment, which no doubt I'll mention a bit later. But in case I don't, it's Bill Williams, Fred Blattner, and Oliver Smithies drank bacteria and measured their outcome in the feces in testing the safety of the Sharon phages. It formed the cover of a paper in Science, that will no doubt be referred to below. But anyway, this is Bill Williams for the first time with a Sharon phage and learning how to digest it in different ways. Control and Indy 3 digests and markers. And the markers, I don't remember what they were. They were probably bacteriophage digested with ECOR1, but whatever, they were standard markers that we were used to making. The conclusion of this particular experiment is, once again, can't find the sticky ends. The sticky ends again, looking for them on page 137. Can't find 11% on any. There's a comment from Dave Moore, this material was obtained. Try less salt, or gels, 0.5% Hellings for buffer for the gel, but different digests. Repeat is a lower salt concentration for the dialysis of the product. Different ways. More sticky ends, March. Lambda wild type tests, March 18th. So this is, this sticky end procedure was being tried. Try to understand what it was in a little while. For example, on page 146 it says this result shows that sticky ends were present, but the 55 degrees 2 molar salt results in some loss, and 4 molar results in more loss. Crazy! Exclamation mark. As the this book wanders to its end. So the page 150 is talking about Sharon 3 and a future Sharon 6, a nuclear cloning idea, etc. So I'm going to have to find out what the sticky end idea was, but it didn't survive in my memory, so it couldn't eventually have been very useful. A new scheme is talked about on the page 151, the last useful page on in this book. A new scheme based on an earlier idea of mine, plus rabbits, with Sharon 3. Completely uncomprehensible at this point, and that ends this book. I'm trying to find out